You should have seen the look on Chang's face when I asked him for a shipment of beetle grubs and earthworms, Torok was saying, his round face split into a happy grin. The old sourpuss looked as if I'd suddenly grown horns. Jamie smiled back. But it's worked. You've turned this sterile ground into productive soil. Digging his fingers into the faintly pinkish dirt, Torok corrected.
It wasn't sterile. Not completely. Damned little organic material in it, but there was some. We had to bake all the oxides out, of course.
He held a palmful of dirt up to Jamie's face.
Smell it. Go ahead. Take a whiff.
Jamie sniffed. It almost smells like dirt back home.
Almost, said Torok, still smiling. It's taken 2 years of work, but we've almost got a plot of terrestrial soil here on Mars.
Jerking with surprise, Jamie saw a tiny black beetle push its way out of the dirt and crawl feebly across the clump in Torok's hand. The biologist laughed.
One of my assistants.
Jamie grinned back at him as Torok gently deposited the handful of dirt back on the ground and patted it smooth. Both men straightened to their feet.
The next resupply mission will include a shipment of genetically engineered bacteria that can fix nitrogen for cereal grains, Torok said. If that works, we'll be able to grow our own wheat.
Looking over the tiny garden, Jamie asked, Do you think you could grow enough food to feed the whole team here? Torok's smile faded.
It's not worth the effort. The hydroponics system is cheaper.
Really? I thought...
Hydroponics takes a lot of water and nutrients, yes. But we recycle the water, and to turn Martian ground into productive soil, you need to start by baking the oxides out, then bring in earthworms and beetles and such to aerate the dirt, and pump in nutrients by the ton to make up for the lack of organics, and...
We can build solar energy farms to provide electricity for baking out the oxides, Jamie interrupted. And power the lamps as well, he added, glancing up at the rows of full-spectrum lights hanging from the dome superstructure. That's what they do at Selene.
You'd also have to seal the entire area, lay a concrete slab under it with a bioguard sheet to prevent back contamination into the Martian environment, surround it with more concrete and bioshields.
That adds to the expense.
And how? Torok said. In time, though, I suppose you could make a garden big enough to be self-sufficient, recycling organic wastes the way they grow crops at Selene.
So what's the problem?
Raising his heavy dark eyebrows, Torok said, Well, as I said, the big problem is back contamination. You don't want terrestrial organisms getting loose out in the Martian environment.
Jamie looked through the dome's transparent wall at the frigid, barren desert outside. Earth plants couldn't survive for 5 minutes out there.
Plants, no, said Torok. But the microorganisms that live on them and in them, maybe yes. Those microbes are tough, and a lot of them are anaerobic. They don't need oxygen to survive.
Jamie nodded. You're afraid they'd infect the Martian environment.
It's a long shot, I admit. But we've got to protect the local environment against back contamination. Remember, it wasn't gunpowder and cavalry that destroyed the Native Americans. It was the microbes the Europeans brought with them that killed off men, beasts, and plants.
Jamie nodded, thinking, We're aliens here. Visitors. We're not Martians, and we never will be, no matter how much we want to be. If we're not careful, we could wipe out what's left of Mars's native species, just like the whites decimated the Native Americans.
But if we could protect the environment from contamination, Jamie asked, what then?
With a shrug, Torok replied,
Building farms big enough to feed the whole crew here will take a lot of time and money. In the beginning, you'll have to bring in the nutrients and aerators and every gram of everything else you need from Earth. That's expensive.
It's a project worth doing if we're going to stay on Mars. Torok's smile returned, but it was melancholy now.
If, Dr. Waterman, if.
Can you do it? Jamie asked.
It can be done, I suppose, but I won't be here to carry it through.
You're leaving?
My term ended 2 months ago. I've told Chang I'll leave on the next resupply flight. Jamie stared at the biologist for a silent moment, then spread his arms. But all this, you'd leave this behind you? With a dejected shake of his head, Torok replied, My wife is suing for divorce back in Budapest. If I don't get back, she'll win custody of my children. Oh, was all that Jamie could think to say. But then he heard himself suggesting, Maybe she could come here to be with you. Two sons, ages 4 and 6, and she won't leave Hungary, let alone travel to Mars. But what about this farm? What's going to happen to your work? Torok's brows contracted almost into a solid line. I've asked several of my colleagues to look after it. That black giant, the American with the odd name, he showed some interest.
Hasdrubal, Jamie said.
Yes, Hasdrubal. He said he'd tend my garden when he's not busy with other responsibilities.
Jamie realized there was nothing he could do.
Torok was leaving, and his experiment would die of neglect without him. His pocket phone buzzed. Jamie was glad of the interruption. Dr. Waterman, you have an incoming message from Mr. Trumbull in Boston.
Looking at Torok's glum face, Jamie said, I've got to get back to my office.
He hurried to the tube that connected the greenhouse dome to the main structure of the base. Dex Trumbull was excited, Jamie could see even on the small wall screen. It's a coup, he was saying, grinning happily. A gift! From the Vatican, no less.
Jamie leaned back in his little chair and watched Dex pacing across his office, gesturing with both hands as he spoke. The distance between Mars and Earth defeated any chance of holding a true conversation. Dex talked, and Jamie listened.
He's a priest, Jamie. A Jesuit. We can get plenty of media time with him before he goes. He can counter those pious sons of bitches who are trying to slit our throats. He can tell the people what we're doing, show them that there's no conflict between religion and science. It's a godsend, I tell you.
As Jamie listened to Dex chattering on enthusiastically for almost half an hour, he was thinking, DiNardo's older than I am. He must be older than Carlton, even. Will it be safe for him to come here? The fusion ships make the flight fast and easy, but how will DiNardo handle the low gravity here? The whole environment. What will Chang think of having DiNardo here? Will he think I'm trying to subvert his authority? First Carlton horns in on the operation here, then I pop in, and now the priest who was originally picked to lead the geology team on the first expedition. Chang's a geologist, for God's sake. He's not going to like this. Dex was actually feeling slightly out of breath when he finally wound down and ran out of words. He was on his feet in the corner of his office where the big windows met. Out there it was a sparkling blue New England afternoon. He could see planes landing and taking off at Logan Aerospaceport, and sailboats cutting through the white caps of the bay, and even the masts of Old Ironsides at its pier in Charlestown across the harbor. It'll take Jamie at least 15-20 minutes to get back to me, Dex thought, even if he picked up my message as soon as it arrived at Mars. I ought to get back to work. He returned to his desk and sat down, but couldn't concentrate on the tasks before him. Wheedling contributions out of increasingly reluctant donors, dealing with half a dozen government agencies that want to stick their fat asses into our program so they can slow us down even more, budgeting. That was the most depressing thing of all. How to stretch the funding they had without endangering the people working on Mars. Dex leaned back in his customized leather chair and stared at the ceiling. But if I can swing the Navajo president onto this tourist idea and start quietly soliciting funding from a group of friendly bankers, then maybe, just maybe, we can put this program on a sound financial basis. Maybe even make a few bucks of profit. The Navajos would like that. But how to get Jamie to agree to it? He's as stubborn as a jackass. Thinks Mars is his private preserve. Worse. Jamie thinks it's his sacred duty to protect Mars, keep it pristine. No visitors except for scientists. The chime of his phone broke into Dex's thoughts.
Dr. Waterman, from Tithonium Base, said the synthesized voice of his second wife.
Dex snapped to an upright posture and said crisply, Open message. Jamie looked wary. Not suspicious or unreceptive, really.
just guarded, cautious. He was smiling,